Blog Talk Radio.
But you and I have had a rough week in San Diego. Not you and I personally, but we're talking about the motorcycle community.
Yes, we are.
You want to touch a little bit about that before we talk about that? There's a lot of bad things in my mind, but you know what I'm talking about first, so why don't you jump on that a little bit, sir?
Yeah, the first thing I want to tell you about is what happened in the desert, Phil. You know, four people were killed, six more were injured.
It's up to five killed now.
Up to five, the wife of the guy that was driving the car that got forced into those people. And by the way, Bill, I don't know if I told you, but the highway patrol told me that it was like throwing a bowling ball at pins when the guy, because what happened was he swung to the right and he hit that sand and the car swung around and went right into the
What's your background of, how were they traveling? What was the other vehicles on so people know what we're talking about?
There were 12 motorcycles heading east to one of the casinos on the border. Arizona, California for an overnighter for their 10th anniversary.
And
they didn't make it.
Well, so what happened was actually that these motorcycles were traveling in order, in line, no muss, no fuss, two-lane highway. A truck was coming in the other direction, the other lane, which was absolutely correct. A Honda car, little hot rod thingamajigger, was trying to pass the club up. Came around the bend, saw the pickup truck. The pickup truck tried to avoid the car, and then went right through all the motorcycles there. They did find out afterwards the driver of the pickup truck, he was drinking. However, he was not drinking enough to affect anything, and his reactions were such that he tried to do the best he could. The driver of the truck, by the way, he's lost his wife.
Right.
He's in the hospital still. What I like about the club, and I'm going to call them right now, it's the Saddle Tramps of the Santee area. They're telling the police they do not want to prosecute the driver of the truck.
Right.
He was reacting to the Japanese car.
Actually, Bill was a Dodge Avenger. The other one was a Honda. It wasn't a truck. It was a Dodge Avenger.
Yeah. But the one they're looking for, that's the Honda.
That's the Honda.
Okay, the Honda.
And the update on that is it's a four-door Honda with California license plates. The driver is believed to be a male and was seen wearing a dark baseball cap. The driver could face felony hit-and-run and gross vehicular manslaughter charges. Meanwhile, no drunken driving charges were filed against the driver injured Saturday when he veered into the group of motorcyclists while trying to avoid the Honda. The blood alcohol test done on we won't say his name, but he was from Mexicali, Mexico, came back negative and showed no alcohol in his system. The six people killed in Saturday's crash have been identified.
I don't even see the names now. No. They're still trying to get out to everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's no, you know, they said there's no reason to believe that the driver that caused the horrific crash, their Acatil, he's now in Mexico, they determined. And on Tuesday, they plan to, they met with the Mexican officials to look over surveillance video from that side of the border. And my gut tells me he's in Mexico, says the Highway Patrol officer, Deanne Goody.
Yeah, the point that I've heard from everybody was we need to look for this guy, this four-door Honda. I want to take a moment to remind everybody, let's not overreact. Any four-door Honda you find, write the license plate down. Not everybody with four-door Honda has caused trouble out there, but so many bikers are so everybody's so traumatized about this, they're just getting vicious about the Hondas. We're not against the Honda cars. We're not against the four-door Hondas. One person. If you see them, though, any four-door Honda, I'd write the damn license plate down, send it down to the police. Any information you can find is good. They assume it was a Mexican man wearing a baseball cap. That's not a lot of information, but any information you can find, let's do something ourselves, the community.
Right.
We don't want to stop and accost every Honda, as I believe with you, that guy just slid right back to Mexico so quick, you know?
Right.
The Saddle Tramps Motorcycle Club is absolutely devastated. They're trying to put together all these funerals and services, and they're wiped out. Do you have a list of the priorities of the services going this weekend? Or there's four of them going on in San Diego, to my knowledge. Maybe five.
Right. If you give me a second, I'll pull it up.
Okay, then, yeah.
And then,
there's a lot of trauma for a motorcycle club that was celebrating its 10th, or I think it was 11th anniversary, but I could be wrong. They're just going down the road, having a good time, and the Saddle Tramps have been in my shop many times. I've seen them at the one of my favorite runs, the Yuma Prison Run. I've seen them everywhere. They've always been stand-up people.
I actually work with a guy that won, too. That guy, I told you, got hit. We went all the way to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And then we weren't back a week, and he got hit from another guy at work, and he lost his leg.
Yeah. It's truly, people say, well, why do I ride motorcycles? But why do you ride motorcycles? And I remind people, if it's your day, it's your day.
It's your day. There's no negotiation.
You can dig the deepest hole and jump in it to try to stay away from danger, and probably the hole will fall in on top of you. Don't be afraid of anything. Embrace life. Look death in the face, because car, truck, boat, slip in the shower, if it's your day, it's your day.
Well, it's just like when you told me, Bill, I got to get back on the bike. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, our adventures with that one.
Well, yeah, but you never were a good bike rider before, so
yeah,
it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay, it's your story.
We got some stuff coming up this weekend.
Yes.
Beside the events going on with the Saddle Tramps, and again, of course, in behalf of Phil and myself, we send our condolences, our sympathies. We'll be there to give whatever assistance we can.
Right, and here's the latest updates, Bill. Saturday's terrible crash, and the families of the Saddle Tramps who were injured or killed. Besides the other victims, there's children left without parents who need our ongoing help. And these are all our brothers and sisters, as everybody is. But people wishing to make donations can mail them too, and I'll put it in the chat room. I'll put the whole thing in there. But, if you know, I know the holidays are coming. I know Thanksgiving's next week. But if we can help, you know.
What's the first event going on Saturday? Do you have that posted?
Saturday is the blood drive. It's going to be with the Red Cross, Bill.
And that's going to be at New York Mike's, San Diego Harley-Davidson.
That's correct.
Give that boy credit where credit's due. He's doing an awful lot reaching out, helping them. His best ability, I believe, is helping get the message out with the public relations departments. That's what Mike's best at. And the fact he's offering his authorized dealership, we tip our hat to you, Mike, and thank you for your support as you've reached out to many, many of our motorcycle brothers and sisters. So, Mike, you're okay today with me.
And then the other one is there's going to be a blood drive with the Red Cross. That's going to be at Mike's. And then there's also another blood drive or blood bank set up an account for anyone to donate at any local hospital. And all I ask you to do is when you go, you just give them the code. You tell them it's for the Saddle Tramps. And
what is the code, brother?
I'm going to put it in the chat, but the code number is ST01. Yeah. You just tell them Saddle Tramps ST01. And it's not, it's not connected to Saturday's blood drive.
It's ongoing.
It's ongoing. So I already gave a blood. I already gave a pint today.
I wish you had given two.
I know.
Because I'm not giving one.
I know.
I wish you had given two.
And then also there's going to be a out at Lake Jennings. I'm not sure if
it's going to take. It's called Renegades, they told me. Does that say up there anywhere?
Yes. And then what it's going to be is it's going to take off from Sweetwater.
Okay.
Rain or shine event. On Sunday afternoon.
That's our good friends, Anastasia and Mariana.
Right.
One of the few authorized dealerships. They have two women running. It's kind of interesting.
Right. And what they're going to do is pegs are up at 12:30. And then if there's any questions or anything, all you got to do is get a hold of John Del Santo. And he can answer all your questions for you.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to give any information out number-wise on saddle tramps because those guys have so much on their plate.
That's why everything should be referred to John.
Yeah. And also I think they go on saddletramps.com if they want to leave a message or something with that.
Also on their Facebook.
Facebook, okay. We're going to ask people to give them a little bit of breathing space. There's only a few of those saddle tramps left, and they have a lot to do. They are getting a lot of help from the community, but still, this is devastating for a club band together that tight. And that's a tight club, by the way.
Right. And the other thing that that really pissed me off when I found out about this was, last Friday, Bill, we were sitting here and we were talking about, go here and they're going to give you free food for being a vet and all that stuff. And
where were you last Friday?
Where was I last Friday?
We were here last Thursday.
No, I said last Thursday.
You said Friday.
All right, well.
Anybody listen to me out there, correct him again. He gets lost. That's all right, all right.
But
so we're talking about it. And you and I are both vets.
Yeah. And what happened was the Vietnam vets called up one of the local casinos and asked, would they, are they welcome there? And they were told yes. And then what happened was, I'll let you read it, Bill.
No, you paraphrase that, brother. I get a little irritated about this. I don't want to get, twisted.
All right. And
be
then,
a little more neutral in this.
Sure. And then one thing I'm going to do right now is we have a person in the chat room who I'm going to tell he can call in right now. And he's from Pechanga.
That's good. I'd rather get it from the horse's mouth.
Right. And I want him to call in right now, so I'm going to send him.
If I start talking about the vets, I get a little irritated. I get a little.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever were given our just dues. Everything I had was promised to me was pretty much denied.
Denied. We're always denied.
Yeah. You and I are lucky ones. We work hard, and we're paying for our own medical insurance and everything through our companies and all that. But I support our vets and hospitals, but I try to stay out of that so they can use some of that for other people that need it.
Right.
You
and
I
what,
are a little bit
you know,
lucky.
And what happened was I got an email. And from a guy named Gil. And what happened was when they went there, they were told, no problem, come on down. You'll be welcomed and everything. So when they get there, they're on their way in, and they get told if they didn't leave, they were going to get arrested. And the guy said, we called in, and they said, come on down. And now all of a sudden you're telling us, we're going to get arrested. So they let him eat, but they posted guards. So as soon as they were done eating, they threw him out.
Well, where is this gentleman on the phone? Is he still coming up? Because I would like to get this from,
he's
tribe.
He's there right now.
All right.
Hello, Rick.
Hello.
Paul, are you on the air? You're live.
Well, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be on. I am a former member of the Pechanga tribe. My family is one of two large families that were eliminated from the Pechanga tribe. And my input on this is that Pechanga has done a very poor job of celebrating their own veterans. They had a page on their own website that trumpeted how many Pechanga veterans there were, but I think they were a little embarrassed to find out that the two families they had eliminated were the majority of their veterans, and they scrubbed their veterans page. So, that they go with one thing, I try and offer veterans free food, and yet their own veterans they've dishonored by eliminating them from the tribe.
Right.
So how can you go to a place like a Pechanga, for instance, that says one thing and does another to their own people? If they'll cheat their own people, they'll cheat you.
Right.
Go ahead. I saw the article on your Bikers of America website, so I was really interested. I'm a blogger myself. I have a blog that describes what goes on at Pechanga at originalpechanga.com, and we've been trying to shine a light on what they've been doing for quite a while. This was a power struggle, and they eliminated 250 people, which basically runs out to about 25% of their tribe. So that those remaining can you know, have the majority of their per capita money and grow. They
right.
cheated a lot of people out of their money and healthcare benefits, educational assistance that was there. And then now to do this to the veterans, including my father, who was a career Army veteran and a decorated Vietnam veteran also. He was awarded the Army Commendation Medal as well as the Bronze Star, which I think, as you veterans know, that those aren't won, they're awarded.
Right.
And, you know, he's a man they should be proud of, and yet, you know, they basically, eliminated his whole family, and, you know, all of his brothers and sisters were veterans, every one of them, you know, and they were all serving in the military at the same time. So,
to your knowledge, has anybody contacted the tribal council or the elders at Pechanga? Has anybody met with them regarding this issue? Have they made any statements about it, how they're going to deal with it?
About the veteran and the biker issue right now?
Yes.
Or overall? No, they pretty much could control the press. So you didn't read about it in the Press Enterprise because they do not, the Press Enterprise will not put anything bad about Pechanga in it. They really won't unless it's totally, totally bad. They've published a couple of
biker shootouts.
Yeah. If it was a biker shootout, it would make it and might not make the front page. If it happened at Saboba, it would be on the front page within an hour. But because they're such a big advertiser to Press Enterprise, you don't read about that. I mean, they've had cases of where tribal council members, relatives, nephews, and stuff, they carjacked somebody at the casino. And, they chased them onto the res, and, you know, the sheriffs have a hard time getting on the res to follow them, and it takes a while to get permission to get on there, and they held the Reg hostage for about 4 or 5 hours, and so you hate to say in cahoots, but I think the Press Enterprise knows where their bread is buttered, advertising dollars from the Pechanga Reservation and the Pechanga Tribal Council, and they've threatened to withhold that money if they continue to give them bad press.
Right.
So
now we do know Pechanga and many casinos do donate a lot of money, a lot of charity, a lot of politicians in their pockets and all that. But I want to ask you one question. I'm a little confused with. This is Indian sovereign land, and yeah, I'm realizing Highway 76 goes through that. How do they break that up, saying that's not Indian sovereign land being on Highway 76? Case in point.
Well,
you're on Highway 76, and the CHP pull you over. On either side of that road, that's Indian sovereign land. How do they designate that so many feet of a highway go through the land and the local police can follow you? I'm not too sure on that. Can you help me on that?
The land came in two separate parcels. The land where the majority of the reservation is on the left side, or that would be the north side of the 76 there, was the original reservation. Yet they were awarded more and more acreage. Where the Pechanga sits on now is called the Kelsey Tract, and that was awarded after the original reservation order came through, and I believe the highway was already running through there. And then, the land where the Journey Golf Course is now, that was also recently awarded about 5 years ago, and we talk about that on the website too, that Mark McCarroll testified before Congress that particular land was culturally significant, and that there would be no development on there, and yet now there's a golf course. I'd ask as a Native American that if you play that golf course, you don't take too deep of a divot, because that's Indian burial ground. So they tried to explain that as simply a zoning change. Oh, yeah, we told you we weren't going to, and now that we got it, we can do whatever we want with it. So, but that's what happened, is those acreage came in at different times, and when the Kelsey Tract was put there, because that was closer to the highway, that's why the casino and the hotel is there, because it's much closer to the highway, and it doesn't interfere with any of the land that's back on the reservation, where my family, by the way, still has acreage on that land that was deeded to us from President McKinley in 1895. We've been associated with the reservation since it began. And yet the tribal council allowed the enrollment committee, which at that point only consisted of 5 members, 3 of which had already been on record as saying they wanted to get rid of us, to rule on our family members. So again, that's,
we have a caller that wants to ask some questions. Please do not get off the air. Stay with us so we can get back. We have a caller that's bugging that's saying that he'd like to jump in. So,
sure.
John Del Santo. John, brother, are you on there?
Yes, amigo. Here I am. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What are you about with this gentleman here, Pachanga? Did you hear about this crazy story? I wasn't familiar with it. Screwdriver was, but I wasn't. Did you pick anything up
right
on that?
I sent out stuff on to anybody that I know that if you got some place to spend your money, spend it someplace else. Okay, I mean, you know, if they don't want motorcyclist money, fine. You know, I don't force my money on anybody that doesn't want it.
Did you have a question for our other caller, John, though?
I don't have a question. I have some information.
Sure.
Tragic motorcycle collision that happened on November 13th, last Saturday, left families in need. Two young boys lost both parents, Lance and Amy. Tanya left behind three kids, and her husband, Wilson, also known as Wet Willie, his condition is still unknown and critical. And then Billy Bigfoot leaves his wife, children, and grandchildren. It was like a terrible, terrible thing that happened, and they're doing a lot of stuff now to try to get enough money to carry these kids through the next 10 years because their grandparents are not being any kind of help. They're looking for mostly they're looking for dollars now. Because it can be used, and that 100% of it is going to the dead and injured. Okay,
John, let me start for a second.
I'm sorry,
I'm looking
what?
At four, maybe five events over this one weekend. Are you familiar with that
right.
many?
Yeah, there is...
Events for one weekend? Spread this out, or what do you think?
Saturday, we've got a blood drive at San Diego Harley. Saturday, there's a celebration of life at Verona Hall on Verona Road. Sunday, the 21st, there's a memorial for all of the families at the Renegade in Lakeside, going from El Cajon Harley to the Renegade. Then there's three or four different businesses that are kicking in part of their profits for the day. Pat and Oscar's, Wendy's, Olala Saloon. I mean, there's a. Let me leave you with an address, though. But anybody who wants to send checks or gift certificates, food gift certificates, can send it to the Saddle Tramps, and that is one word, I believe. Care of Smith, and the address is 16204 Alpine Boulevard. Alpine, California, 91901. That's the place that's the center. The center
okay,
for
okay, and Phil's putting it all up. But, John, my statement was, with all these events in one weekend, do you think that we should take a break and in a month put another event on? It's simply the San Diego Motorcycle Biker Committee. We cannot hit four or five events in one weekend. So
okay,
I'm hoping there's going to be a short break,
Phil,
then we're going to have another event to
Phil,
continue on with this. There's just too much,
Phil,
I think.
Phil.
Each other.
Okay. I'm not putting the events on. All I am is carrying information.
I'm not trying to kill the messenger, but I'm going to point out that I'm hoping that they will, in a month or so, start something up again, give some more people a chance to make it, because that's an awful lot of events for just one weekend. I'm hoping somebody can hear me this and say, we'll pick the place pace up, we'll do something next month again. That's all I'm saying that.
Right. I just, I don't have anything to do with that. I'm just, you know, what I'm trying to do is get all of the things that are happening, all of the things that will help these people. I'm just trying to get the information together and passing it out.
Perfect. So, John, what's going on out here? Going back to the Indian Reservation again. Our call is still on the line there. What is it that you have any advice for him, or how can he deal with the situation with the tribe about not? Do we need an apology? Do we need to? We need to meet with the.
They're not going to apologize because they have already sent out an email saying that this is for the safety of our customers. Okay?
Right.
And that's, you know, if somebody takes their vest off and then goes in, they'll let them in, I mean, which I totally disagree with.
I said
my part right at the beginning that, hey, somebody don't ride a lot, don't want my money, I ain't going to give it to them. I'm not
like
gonna
your attitude. You never wonder what side of the fence John is on. He doesn't straddle the fence. He makes his side known very clearly. What do we got? Gil? Are you still with us?
No, Rick.
I'm sorry. Rick, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still with you. And I'd like
to
add
that was John Del Santo out of San Diego. He was giving us a high line. We call him Mr. Research Person because he's fantastic on it. He didn't really give us any great ideas how we can deal with it. He said they made a statement, but what are some of your ideas how we, the community, can deal with the Pechanga on this issue?
I can give you a couple. One, you have to let the tribe know your feelings and why you will not be going to Pechanga anymore. Otherwise, they just think business is down. If you do not call them and say, I will no longer patronize your casino because of the way you've treated bikers and veterans, we will not be going anymore. They will not have an idea of why their business is down. So I have a number,
Rick,
that I'll give.
Sorry, Rick, upon interrupting, I apologize. When they call up, do you say, I want to speak to the public relations department? There's going to be a switchboard operator. Who do they ask to speak to?
Or can you get me a name and I'll
put it on for people.
You can just
give me a name and a number.
I'll give you the first number, and the telephone number is area code 951.
Hang on, we're slow. We dropped the pen. Go ahead now.
It's area code.
Rick, go ahead, buddy.
Okay. It's area code 951-770-6000. And that is their main number to their tribal government, and you can ask to speak to any of the council members or ask for their voicemail.
Would emails do just as good, or do you think a phone call, direct response, what's better? Letters, or what do you think?
A phone call, but I'll also give you a fax number.
Please.
Okay, let me give you a fax number for those that can fax, either have a fax line or can do it from their computer. It's area code 951-695-1778. And it's better to have a paper trail going through there because an email can just be, you know, eliminated with a push of a button. This way they have to at least refill their fax machine paper when you guys send in as many faxes. You are no longer going to patronize their casino until they treat veterans and bikers better. And
that sounds better because I felt just a phone call, like you said, they could bury that. We said follow up with paper trail. I like that idea.
Yeah, it really is, and you know, if you have them doing something, that's something what we do when we're trying to lobby Washington is get all of our family and friends together, and we send faxes to the senators and our representatives because they have to look at it. They could always say I never got an email, but if you are informing the Pechanga Tribal Council what your feelings of why you are not going to patronize them, they will know it's a big deal. If you don't do it, they just think, oh, our business is down, and they don't know why. So I'm urging all veterans, in honor of their support for our country, they weren't worried about, you know, your safety when you were out fighting for us, right? And then they're worried about safeties of their customers, and yet they have, you know, they have child molesters, you know, on the reservation. So they're saying that a veteran biker is worse than some of the child molesters they allow to run free. You know, we have. You know, they're on Megan's website. So,
Rick, are any of the tribal meetings open to the public? And will
they are not open. No,
oh, okay.
They are absolutely not open to the public, and you're not allowed to speak. Even if, wives or spouses are allowed to attend, but the spouses are not allowed to speak at a meeting. It's members only. And, you know, during our issue, when they were trying to get our family out, instead of having meetings once a month as was customary, they held off having meetings, you know, 5 or 6 months because they knew we had the votes. That was the issue here. They, you know, imagine if the Republicans said, Democrats, okay, we're going to eliminate 25% of your vote. Or conversely, the Democrats said, Republicans, we're getting rid of 25% of your votes. How fair do you think the issues would be on being able to get your point or your needs across? And that's exactly what happened here. They were able to marshal their power by getting rid of, you know, 235 adults at that time, you know, and all of, obviously our children followed with us. But that's it. It was control power. And so
basically, they tried to cut off the head.
They did. They cut off the head because, you know, most of our family were college educated, and they were, I think, a little fearful of where we wanted to go, because we were looking to bring other people that rightfully belonged in the tribe. There's families out there, there's probably 300 people at least that belong in the tribe and should be able to share in all that the tribe has to offer. And that, you know, what happened was, is for all of you who go to Pechanga and see a tribal member now, their per capita went up to 30,000 a month after they got rid of our two families. And had they kept our, you know, both families,
so
they'd still be making 15,000.
So basically, you guys got, in other words, cheated out of,
cut off
a fair amount of money, right?
Each adult at this point has been cut off of about 1.2, I think it's $1.3 million now. Okay,
each. Is that each?
So each. So when Pechanga gives out $5,000 or $10,000 here, you got to put into context that they have about $275 million that were available to them that they stole from our families that they could
never see.
Never see. And, you know, you hear about San Manuel, when they give out money, they give out hundreds of thousands. You know, they give out $100,000 or $150,000 to their schools and things, and Pechanga will give out $5,000. And
I saw on your site that Jerry Brown had his hand out for $1 million.
You know, that's a little scary, you know, to get into politics, and you see that Jerry Brown has almost $1 million from the tribe, and he did not even defend California's law against the tribe. You know, so we try to speak out. It's not just about Pechanga on our blog, originalpechanga.com. We talk about the other tribes that this has happened to in California. Redding Rancheria got rid of the guy that basically got their tribal rights back and got health care in Northern California for Native Americans. They should have put a 100-foot statue of this guy up on their reservation, and they kicked his family out because they didn't like the way they were going to vote. I mean, how bad is that?
Let me exaggerate that just a little bit. The people that were cut off, were they ordered to leave the tribal land too? Did they have to leave the reservation? Or did they still live on that for free until they can? What happened to all the families, I guess? Can you give us a little condensed version of what happened to the people?
Yes, the family is no longer entitled to their tribal rights, which includes attending all meetings, their right to vote on what happens in the tribe, their right to health care, their right to, obviously, per capita, their right to have their children with educational assistance. That, you know, all this largesse has been brought around by the casino, but now that has been stripped from both of these families. We no longer can vote on an issue. We do have our property on the reservation. We were deeded, our ancestor, Paulina Hunter, was deeded 20 acres on the reservation in 1895. So we still have that in our property, and some of our family members bought property. So we probably have 80 to 100 acres on the reservation now, and they cannot remove us from the reservation just because we're no longer tribal members. But they are trying to take our water rights right now, where there's a water rights issue. So if the government follows through with that, Pechanga, the tribe, will be able to take our water and no longer ship us water or charge whatever they want, even though that tribe was set up for the Temecula Band of Indians, not Pechanga. There's been a group there that has basically usurped the power. So, but I still have family living on the reservation now. There's houses there on that original acreage that was given to us 115 years ago.
You know, even though times have changed, we're in the modern days, the world's perception of the Indian still is something special. When I was over in Sweden at a bike run, this one club hooked me up with another club to take me through another state, and they were called Cheyennes. And I looked at him, I said, was that an Indian name? Yes, Bill, we believe in the power of the Indian, and our mark is the buffalo. And I said, have you ever seen a buffalo? They said, no, it doesn't matter. People in Sweden, they feel so strongly akin to the Indian spirit and all that. They go, we named our motorcycle club after that. I thought that was pretty classy. Never saw a buffalo, never met a real Indian, but they related to the Indians kind of being solitary, alone, all that stuff, you know?
Right, and there's a lot to learn about Indian history across the country, and you know, I'll wager to say that most of the Pechanga people have not seen a buffalo either. There was no buffalo in California, and that's not how our ancestors survived. You know, they hunted and gathered, and there wasn't buffalo hunters, and they didn't wear eagle headdresses like you see, you know, the Great Plains Indians. They're a separate entity. But it's still, you know, it's a struggle. And, you know, the Pechanga Casino was developed because that was a rightful thing, that it should have been, you know, helping the tribe to develop. And they've done some of that. But yet, you know, you had a certain faction in that tribe that wanted to eliminate that opportunity for hundreds of people and take it for themselves. I mean, they could have said, hey, we'll donate more to the school, or we'll do better things on the reservation, you know, better water infrastructure, which they did not do that. They took it for themselves and basically, you know, cashed the much larger checks than what could have been available. And what originally happened was our family was trying to, and as well as the other family, was trying to get in a family that belonged in the tribe. They had their paperwork there, and the people that were in the enrollment committee that had been shuffling the paperwork and hiding it and not letting them get in, and so those two, their families got together to get us out because they didn't.
Yeah,
you guys
went through. You used an anthropologist to get everybody's lineage, didn't you?
Yeah, and actually, we didn't hire the anthropologist; the tribe did. Dr. John Johnson from Santa Barbara is. I don't think there's anybody more qualified to look into the history of Native Americans than he is. He's actually had his hands on the mission, the Padrones, which is the record of birth records of the Indians from 1830s. He's had his hands on them. He's touched them. And he did the research as Pechanga requested, yet they did not use his findings. Actually, there's a link to that on my blog. I've got his picture up on the left side of our blog at originalpechanga.com. And they did not listen to him. Instead, they listened to a guy who was not living during the time of our ancestor, which we had documentation of somebody who who was still living, Antonio Ashman, who's a vaunted elder for Pechanga. He was actually living at the time of my ancestor, and he swore in a deposition that she was Pechanga, and they didn't listen to him either. Instead, they listened to a guy who was born 40 years after my great-great-grandmother passed away, and he was in prison for child molestation, and yet they took his word over a noted anthropologist and some people that were alive. And actually, we have three depositions that were taken in 1915, 3 years after the Titanic sank, in the Luiseno language, and they didn't accept that as oral history. So.
Wow. Rick, let me ask you, when you see other members of the tribe, not the tribal council now, when you bump into other members of the tribe, how do they react to you? Are they, like, turn their back a little bit? Do they feel sympathy for you? Or how do you react to the other people that are still in the tribe?
There's been examples of everything across the spectrum. Some, you know, think we got what we deserved. Others are sorry it happened to us, but they don't want to do anything to jeopardize their family because they're scared it could happen to them. I've actually done some a couple of business events with an actual tribal member whose family, whose mother was one of the people that voted us out. Actually, she was incapable of handling this. You know, she really was incompetent. Yet he couldn't even look me in the eye. And if you felt strongly in your convictions, you should be able to look at me and say, look, you don't have the background or documentation, so you're out. Yet they've got to look another way. They can't look in the eye because they know that we do. We have more documentation than anybody in that tribe. And, you know, the anthropologist has said that nobody really has more of a right to be than our family. So, and then others would be wanting to help, but nobody wants to step forward. Nobody wants to step forward and fight for rights if it'll hurt them. You know, and that's why
nobody wants to rock the boat, huh?
Yeah, exactly, because – you know, they feel they can get hurt, and they can because there's no longer the votes that we had to protect them. And, you know, and by Pechanga not allowing this other tribal family that should be in the tribe, you know, they definitely have a lock on what the power is. And, you know, that's why the veterans issue is so important. Look, if you're going to stand up for other veterans, you have to let them know why you're standing up. you know,
the monetary compensation is one thing, but the fact to walk up to you and take your birthright away from you, that's the part. The money's important. Let's face reality.
Yeah.
But for them to take your birthright away, that must be, you must be smoke coming out of your ears at that point.
Exactly. I mean, I have a connection with Channel 8 News. I'm going to call her tomorrow and test the waters and see what she says.
Well, you know, we've actually had an 8-minute spot that came out on KTLA, or excuse me, KNBC, 2 years ago with our family, and it's called Without a Tribe, and it's on KNBC's website, and I believe I have a link to it right on my blog site that says Vaccaro lies in the first 15 seconds. If your listeners want to check that out, it's right there up on the website, and it'll take you to the video. And it basically explains everything that is what's happened with our family. But again,
Rick,
you know,
the tribal council has taken away your birthright. What are you classified as? Are you still classified as a? You're not even classified as an Indian. They've kicked you out. What is your? How do you describe the birthright? You know, black, white, Caucasian, Oriental. They've taken your birthright away. How do they even describe you?
Well, we describe ourselves as Native American because that's the issue, but. There's still a little bit of discussion with that because different tribes in California have different relationships with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. So, for instance, the Bureau of Indian Affairs got involved in the San Pasqual tribe's enrollment dispute because of their certain constitution, yet the Pechanga tribe, you know, the BIA would not get involved because luckily for Pechanga at that time, the area supervisor of the BIA, James Fletcher, was a Pechanga tribal member, and you know he was being guided obviously by the tribal council. So, but in some cases, Native Americans in California lose their actual any federal benefits. They cannot get health care because they're no longer classified as an Indian because what some voted in tribal members, you know, elected tribal officials have done rather than what has been history. And history throughout the tribe. So there's cases that go across the spectrum.
Rick, we want to bring another caller in. We have Merlin Bianco. Are you out there, Merlin? He wants to talk about your situation here. Merlin, you out there?
Yeah, I am, Bill. Hi, good evening.
Hey, Merlin, hold on a second. Charlie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Okay, we're going to talk to Merlin first and then give you a chance to chime in. And you've been listening, so have you been listening, Merlin?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Merlin, before you get into too much, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're about, because you are Don Quixote fighting the windmill. You are the last cowboy. I could go on and on with you're an interesting person. Would you tell us what your life's been about recently, and then mention to talk about this Indian situation? And if I'm not incorrect, you have Indian blood, you also, don't you?
Yeah, just in the last couple of years, I've been able to prove my Choctaw lineage, and I believe.
Oh, I heard about that then. Well, tell us again. Skip there for a second, like that. Get back. Tell us a little bit who this Merlin Bianco is, because this is an interesting character, and then I want you to talk about what's going on out there with the reservation. Okay, tell us about Merlin.
I'm 60 years old.
Don't forget Duke.
Duke, I've been told I have a good face for radio. Duke is a 1995 Harley-Davidson Dynaglide Sport convertible. Duke and I just spent 6 months on the road. We left in May. Sold everything. I don't own a house. I don't have a real address. Right now I'm staying in San Diego, courtesy of all things, my ex-wife.
Which, by the way, she marked me as a favorite today.
Oh, good. You're one of my
ex-wife?
Oh, she marked me as a favorite.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I don't cause no trouble.
I just wanted to let them know she marked me as a favorite.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that meant, but, you know.
I don't want to get into this. Go ahead, Merlin. Back to you.
In the picture I saw, she's holding a baby, and I swear to God, it's not nothing to do with me.
So, Merlin, continue on. Tell us what you're doing. Who are you?
I am Duke the Wonder Bike, and I are on the last road trip. We left California on the 9th of May. To head out with no return contemplated or expected. I don't have a home. I live on the bike. Home is where the kickstand goes down. I've been in since the 9th of May, 20,000 miles, rained on in Death Valley, I have had buffalo walk through my camp this summer, and moose. Have met some of the neatest people in America, have found no trouble, and even if I had something that I would have called trouble before, the neat people of America made it the best two-day breakdown I can imagine. And
let me interrupt you a second there, because you and I know each other many years. We are, our stories go down to Mexico, go on and on and on, but you're traveling through America today, and while America's knocked down, she's down on one knee. Can you tell us what it's like traveling across? You see people losing their houses. You hear towns going bankrupt. Do you experience any of this while you're traveling?
Well, I lost my house and bankruptcy and the whole nine yards that way. But
let me ask you this, Merlin. Bill, I want to touch on this one real quick. How much biker discrimination have you encountered in your travels in the last 6 months?
Only at the casinos. Honestly.
Okay. Good tie-in. Okay.
I was a member of Black Sheep Motorcycle Ministry, which is a beautiful outfit, and we were invited to a couple of the North San Diego County casinos, come out to our opening, and then we were told we couldn't go in with our colors vest, which said Jesus is Lord across the back of the shoulders. I turned around and left. You tell me not to come in, I won't. Las Vegas, or at Laughlin, Nevada told us don't come, so I don't anymore. I can take my money and my fun elsewhere.
You know,
there's no real discrimination out
Merlin?
There.
Merlin? Yes. Merlin, listen to me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Merlin?
Yes?
Say you can hear me.
I can hear you.
I lost Merlin?
Hey, we lost him, Bill.
Merlin?
No.
Okay.
I'm right here.
Okay, Merlin, stop moving your chair.
Stay still.
You're giving us all kind of noise feedback, okay?
That's why we can't hear you.
All right, let's try this.
Can you talk to us now?
Yeah, this better?
Perfect.
Yes, perfect. Yeah.
Hello, you're perfect.
Don't move
now.
Don't, just stay.
Tell me more about Merlin. What? Why are you out doing this? Why are you traveling across the country? What's going on here?
What?
And then get into what's going on about the Indian reservation problem right now, okay?
Yeah. I had some time, and I spent an evening with a lady named Dorothy Sunbear, who is Oglala of Lakota. They don't really like the Sioux tag, but they are Lakota. And she is Oglala, and we were in the middle of the Wounded Knee battle site where they live. And I camped that night on their buffalo grass front yard. And she taught me some interesting concept. First off, they deal
Merlin,
with...
Merlin, stop. This is a family show. Keep it clean,
yes.
Okay? Whatever she taught you, keep it clean.
It's clean.
Okay. She
feels, and it seems to be common throughout the Pine Ridge Reservation of South Dakota, that this is a POW camp. We have POW numbers. We're not really allowed to leave, and we're here because we lost the war. And it took me a little while to grasp the concept and accept it as a truth. And that threw me, but... I didn't find any discrimination against bikers. It took her a while to accept me as more than just another Wasichu, which is the Lakota word for just a white guy. I guess depending on how much you spin it, it's insulting. When she first looked at me, she looked at her husband, Carl, who had served, in fact, with the same unit in the Army as I did. And she said, why a Wasichu? Basically, why have you brought this white man into my living room? But by the end of the evening, she had made a beaded turtle for me to give my brand-new granddaughter this summer. And she made me think about how America and the American Indian interact. They still feel they're prisoners of war. And that was a new concept, and I'd like that one kind of put out there. As far as America being on one knee, interesting. Some of them are on one knee because that's all it takes to pray. Some of them are on one knee because that's what it takes to get up from one job and get to the next one. I didn't find people mad or angry. America's alive and well. The American spirit is alive and well. Sometimes they're not happy with the media. Sometimes they're not happy with the government. But they believe in themselves, and they believe in their neighbor. And I was thrilled to find this because I had hoped it was still out there. And it is. I was helped by people at almost every turn if I needed it, and sometimes whether I needed it or not, people would help. It was marvelous. There was no place where I felt unwelcome.
Merlin, to let people know what type of rider you are, I spoke to you yesterday, is that correct? And what state were you in?
I was in New Mexico yesterday.
What state are you in tonight?
I'm in San Diego right now. I did 20,000 miles from May 9th to about September 29th this summer.
We're talking a little bit about this gentleman here. They have a problem with the casino, the veterans not being allowed to eat there with the rest of the veterans.
I am appalled.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Any questions?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm appalled. I didn't realize that Pechanga had a problem with vets because that there's a real, real deep that's wrong with me. My U.S. military vet history goes back to, A, both sides of the Indian Wars, both sides of the Civil War, and our side of the Revolutionary War. But for any outfit, anything in America today to have a problem with a vet or a vet organization, I hope it's political and social suicide, because it's that big a wrong to me. There's an illegality involved in there. You know, you don't like me because of the clothes I'm wearing. Well, that's okay. Now just, you know, tell me what the rules are and we'll go along with whatever your rules. It is your business after all.
Yeah,
but,
well, here's the deal, Marilyn. I can't understand how, okay, yeah, come on down, no problem. They get in line. Once they're in line, they pull them out of line. I mean, how can you sit there and enjoy a meal?
No, you can't. And I believe it was the Santa Ynez Casino about 3-4 years ago, they invited a bunch of black sheep, which is a motorcycle ministry, very mixed parentage, if you will, mostly Harley, mostly hog-type people. That's one of the reasons I stepped away is hog deals with a lot of rookies, and I've been at this way too long. I'm tired of training motorcycles. And they invite you in and then say, well, no, you can't because of what you're wearing. Well, I had a problem with the Highway Patrol when they went on the, we don't like your hat line, a couple of months back. I am one of the original Bolt people. I don't know if Bill knows this, and I suspect Phil knows.
I don't know if you know, but I'm also a Bolt member too.
I know that, and that's why I bring it up, is that you and I are both ends of Bolt.
Absolutely.
I am one of the original. I'm one of the original Bianco brothers. I'm the other one.
Right. And I met you once.
Yeah, I thought we
had. A couple years ago, I think it was.
But,
well, you stopped in my shop last time. Did you see that patch I had on the wall? I was acknowledging somebody. Did you notice that over my shoulder?
Yes.
Who was that?
Yes. That was Bill, wasn't it? Yeah.
Quigley.
Yeah.
Quigley, yeah.
Oh, well, you're not Quigley. I knew Quig, and you ain't him. But that's not what I'm – the personal rights and then the ability for somebody to usurp that right or to screw with it. Maybe that is why we're all here tonight. But
really, I want to put you an old segment. I want to put Charlie on and talk about this problem at the reservation with two. But I want you to think about this when you come back. What are you looking for, Merlin? Where are you going?
Think
about that. Answer when you come back, all right?
Yeah.
Charlie, you on the phone, buddy? You on the radio?
Yeah, I'm in here, man.
All right, you got some of the problems we got coming out here. Guy's losing his home. He's trying to drive across country, trying to find America. We got another gentleman over here kicked out of his own tribe. He's telling us that the American veterans, on Veterans Day, where everybody else allowing them to eat for free, they don't want them in the casino. You want to comment any of that, please?
Well, it all boils down to the same thing that you're seeing is that's going on around the United States and the world right now, and it's part of the big picture, which is, it's called the New World Order, and what they're doing is they're restricting travel on everybody, and it's right down to the TSA. It's right down to everything that's going on. It's a piece of what is happening across the board. And even though our friend that was just on there, I guess he's not my friend. In a sense, he is, because we're all part of the radio show, was saying he traveled across the country and was met with all kinds of kindness. and generally folks who aren't upset or unhappy. Well, these folks, obviously, in my opinion, aren't living in the right part of the world because they should be upset and unhappy because there's too much going on and not enough people doing anything about it. And the people that are taking course right now are running this all into the ground. It's the veterans. You know, all the people that want to be defended, they want their rights defended, they want everything handed to them, are all the same people that are also kicking out those people who are defending those rights and doing all the things that we do. And we're not standing up tight enough and hard enough against any of this stuff that's going on. It's right in our face. It's not using common sense. It's everything that if you look at how much that it is not common sense, those folks that can sit there and say it's not common sense, that's all we're doing. They're sitting back going, anybody with any common sense wouldn't do that. Well, there are people out there doing it, and we're still sitting back and taking it. So we're not being heard. Our voices aren't loud enough. The situation is not in the face enough of against the folks that are doing these kinds of things to everyone. That's my opinion.
I kind of agree with you on that. I believe recently I've come across the fact that unless it affects me, nobody wants to get involved. That seems to be the reaction I have from most people.
And that's common, Bill. You and I have dealt with that over the years where people don't feel it till it hurts, and then by that time it may be too late. People are angry. A lot of people I've met, they are angry. But at the same time, they're trying to feed the family, recover, keep the ranch intact. It's time to get the strays in for branding. I mean, I met people that were fishing in the Columbia River Gorge and running little tiny motorcycle shops in Salt Lake City. And everybody hurts, and everybody knows why, and they're angry on a point or two, and there are some common points. I realized today as I was coming back into San Diego from Santa Fe, New Mexico, that I went through 8 checkpoints between San Diego to Santa Fe and back, and I didn't leave the country, and I didn't get on an airport. I was in a, you know, I was on a private vehicle, and I'm moving through. And I went through federal and the veggie police at the California borders and all these little checkpoints, and it ticks me off every time because I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm a big boy, I'm a vet, I paid my taxes. I have not been verbally assaultive to anybody in a very long time now.
You're a victim of I don't want to say the economy. You're a high stress, high level professional.
I was an aerospace engineering. When you stop building airplanes, you put me out of work. So I was aerospace engineering, and I lost my house in Oklahoma.
Merlin, I asked you a specific question.
Yes.
What
am I looking for?
What is it that Merlin wants? Because you travel across the country. You're trying to find
people. What I've discovered about Merlin is I don't do stay put very well. I need to keep moving. And I love moving on the motorcycle. So I'm out to find the best roads or the best chili burger or my goal in life right now is New Year's Eve in Key West, Florida. I want to go to Thoreau Pond. I know it's surrounded by good people, good land, gorgeous sights, adventure that I may or may not have an idea might be out there, and I want to look over the next hill. It's not that there's anything wrong with where I'm at. It's just I need to go there too.
Merlin, what if people across America are hearing about this or spread the news? How can they contact you? How can they be part of your life?
I'm on Facebook, but I have an email, MerlinBianco1, the digit 1, at juno.com. And Bianco is Bravo India Alpha, non-commissioned officer. If you want to, and I love it, because I was looking tonight at people that I'd sent email about this show. They're all over the world now. I've bumped into people in the country from other countries, and I've had South Africa, Wales, Canada. I've had a great time doing this, and I now have friends all over the world because of wandering around America. And
I also like the circus that goes on each night in a campground. It just gets real interesting sometimes because some people shouldn't be turned loose with their own equipment. But
Merlin, let me ask you this. How are you maintaining? How are you surviving? Odd jobs? Asia labor? The people listening want to know, how's this guy surviving? I know you got no money, brother. Because when the space thing went down,
no money.
I know that, brother.
I worked for several weeks at a campground in Riverton, Wyoming, the Owl Creek Campground. Great place. If you're going to Sturgis, hit Owl Creek Campground in Riverton on your way. It's well worth doing. The trip to Santa Fe, New Mexico here a couple of days ago was for Mesa College here in San Diego. I delivered a pickup truck load of art from one show back to the artist so he could send it out to another gallery and hopefully make him some money. I'll do anything for money. You know, we'll work for fuel or food. I don't care. But donations gratefully accepted.
It'd be rude for me to ask you if anybody is interested in what you're doing. Maybe $1 or $2 donation wouldn't be rejected, would it, sir?
Not at all. And neither would the suggest donation. That is, here's a place you need to go. Here's an event. Here's a person you need to see. Here's a couch you can use when in Dubuque. In fact, I had calling cards, like business cards made up, and I asked for, have you any suggest donations? And then the bottom line of the cards is, can you tell me where to go? Because I really want people know what's neat about their area. Gee, there's an old iron bridge just outside of town down the dirt road. You need to go look at this. And the best hot dog cart in the world is corner of 16th and Arapahoe in Denver, Colorado, Biker Jim's. And these kind of things. I get people telling me about the neatest stuff, and I want to go hunt them down.
Merlin, it's interesting to me that you were an aerospace engineer. You had some nickels and dimes. You had a nice house and all that. You've lost everything. And yet
I sold my 1953 Chevrolet panel truck to start the trip. And people have been amazingly generous because there, in some places, I think maybe there's a connection. You know, boy, he's doing something I sure would like to. And in some places, it may be that, look, for $5, he'll go away. I don't know, but I know everybody that touches me leaves me enriched, and I hope I do that while I wander about.
Yeah, the point I was making was that you've lost everything, and yet you're a free man. Screwdriver and I work our butt off to take care of our families, our business, and we have no free time. Screwdriver and I applaud you. We wish you the best of luck. Keep it up.
Janis Joplin said, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And I was laughing about that today when I heard it on the radio. It's true.
Okay, really, I want to bring Charlie back on a little bit. Charlie, you still there?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm here, man. This crazy guy. Space engineer, whatever he was, lost his home, family, everything. He's traveling around. He's a fair mechanic. Not a great mechanic, but he's a fair mechanic. Think about a guy who's just traveling across America, taking this time of his life. I know that guy.
No wonder the guy hasn't seen
him. I've seen the Band-Aid repairs he's made in Mexico, but he got home always. Charlie, what do you think of a guy that's lost everything and yet he's found everything now?
Well, you know, a modern-day Woody Guthrie or Mark Twain.
Oh, boy, is that good company to play in.
Yeah.
I'm flattered. Thank you, Charlie.
So, that's
Just for anybody who doesn't know, this is Charlie Baker. He's a singer out of Nashville, and I'm going to put his information up in the chat. You guys can go out there and check out his songs. So we're gonna take a break here in about 10 minutes, and I'm going to play one of Charlie's songs because we're going to try and get this other caller that wanted to call in.
And let's also mention the fact that Charlie's out there helping the community.
Absolutely.
Charity events. He's out there, like many of us, he's doing not only for his own family, he's helping his community out there.
Thank you, Charlie.
Charlie'd be a lot better off if you live in California, but that's a different story.
He's working on that.
By doing that,
you're working on that one, Bill.
Charlie.
Thanks.
Hey, Charlie, you had an interesting weekend. Can you tell us what happened?
It was definitely an
interesting
weekend. We're all
traveling yourself.
Yeah, we went to, Sonia and I went to Hillsboro, North Carolina to Sonny Barger's book signing.
Which I understand you were the featured act.
Yeah, except for Sonny, I mean, of course. But, yeah, man, I got to go over there and play some music for the afternoon, and it was quite an intimate setting, which was very cool to be involved in that. You know, there's a lot of biker things that go on, and it's big, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 crowds. This is probably, you know, a couple hundred club members and a couple hundred supporters. And so, you know, 400 people probably throughout the day, 400, 500 people. It was a good time. Very, very exciting situation, man. You know, I was just, you know, to be intimate like that and to see it, you know, from the inside, and it was just, it's hard to describe.
So let's talk a little about the ambiance as you got into the event where all the people are at.
Well, actually, there's a good story, Bill. Tell them who was in line with you, Charlie, and what happened.
Oh, yeah, well, this is a good one. I mean, it was obvious early on that that the law, you know, of course,
set the ambiance up of what was going around the whole thing, you know, the threats and all that, and then say, you know,
Charlie was making threats.
He didn't threaten anybody.
I got down there about 10 o'clock in the morning because we had to, you know, the thing wasn't supposed to start till noon, and they asked me to show up around 10 to be ready and set up and be ready for sound check and have music ready. So when, you know, when everything kicked off at noon, so we got down there around 10 or 10:15, and Sonia, who was with me, you know, my fiance was with me, and we had to do a transfer of some money online. So where this all kicked off, where it was aware to us, she like, oh, shit, you know, we got to go out here in the car, and she's got to get on the laptop and try to, you know, hack in somewhere to get online, you know, some little local business to do a transfer. So when she's out there doing this, all of a sudden it becomes obvious that, you know, the law's kind of everywhere. There was police, you know, regular police, state police, all, but just out of eyesight of the event. The reason, you know, it was noticed because she had to kind of spread out a little bit to get there to do the online thing. And then, you know, the ominous guys in their black SUVs with their little, you know, headsets on and all that stuff, you know, that became obvious all of a sudden. And so, you know, we're kind of living with that, going, oh, that's kind of wild. And then the next thing you know, by 11 o'clock, this event's not supposed to start till noon. By 11 o'clock, the place is already getting filled up. The line is already long. The tent set up where Sonny's going to be, right outside the club door of Crazy Shot Billiards. And the next thing you know, it was a beautiful day, by the way, 70s, full sun, just gorgeous, and bikes were rolling in, 11 o'clock in the morning, and here comes a police officer up to the event, and Sonny wasn't even up there yet, and he gets in line, and he's full dressed in his uniform, and so it was kind of odd, you know, in a certain sense, because they're all surrounded everything, so it's like, whatever. And then, so I just happened to be privy to that because I was up there, too, at that point in time because I was waiting to meet Sonny and hang out there for a minute before I had to go and play music. And the police officer comes up, and he, just like any of the other folks in line, he bought a book and asked to have it signed. And the thing was, is the thing that was kind of odd, or I don't know if it was odd, he was nervous. He was nervous, and the cameras were flashing, and he says to the person who was working with Sonny, can you have him sign it to my favorite police officer? And they looked up and said, I don't think so. but Sonny did sign the book, and pictures were flashed, and that was kind of how that went.
Yeah, Bill jealous. Did your wife feel secure and comfortable? Was she, I'm sure a little nervous being there, but did you have a feel of security there?
Oh, we were carte blanche because, I mean, you know, Izzy brought us in from the Big House crew, and we were wearing our Big House support gear, you know, and so we stuck out like a sore thumb because we're in Durham, the Durham Hells Angels chapter, and there was representatives from all over the East Coast, from Maine. I mean, you can't name a state on the East Coast and this close that didn't have members that were there, and there were support members from everywhere, and it was open to the public. But we were the only two people with Big House crew stuff on. And when we got up there, everybody's like, they were asking, what's that Big House crew? And some people knew and some people didn't. And we were treated like royalty. So, yeah, Sonia was very comfortable. Everything was – we didn't have any issues. There was one instance maybe at one point in time where we were going to take a picture outside, but we kind of knew better than to shoot it with the background that was at us, you know, kind of that thing. But other than that, there was nothing. We were definitely ushered through everything and very well treated.
You know, one of the things that people don't understand is when Screwdriver and I, we're going to go party on Sunday, we pull up to this party, we're going to, I leave my keys in my ignition, I take my jacket and throw it on my seat. And every now and then some new guy will say, man, is it okay to leave your bike there? And I'll say, man, where? How much safer could my bike be?
Exactly.
Some time ago, I was down at a party, and I was parked close to the fire hydrant. It was a couple of feet away, but I wasn't far enough away. I said, the hell with it. I went down the street because the place didn't have anything but Coke, and I like Pepsi. Down a block, and I turned right. Got the Pepsi, and I'm coming back. And a guy runs up to me. Oh, Bill, the police came, and they gave you a ticket. And I went, you know what? It's a beautiful day. The hell with it. Life goes on. So I turn to the left, and I'm heading back to where my bike was, where my ticket is. Another guy runs up to me. He goes, Bill, Bill, please don't tell anybody this, but the Hells Angels just took your bike. I'm going, God damn, I got a ticket, and I don't even have a bike. I got close to the fire hydrant, and they all start yelling, Bill, thank God you left your bike unlocked. We moved your bike over across the street so you didn't get a ticket. So now I got my bike back, and I didn't get a ticket. And I got to tell you, I was emotionally drained. Thought I had a ticket, thought I lost my bike. Bike's back and no ticket. But that's the type of looking after
which,
I've always got.
Which, by the way, you would have just paid.
Well, I can fight the partners with fire hydrant. But I've always found that whenever we go anywhere, they keep an eye on our vehicles, and I really appreciate that. So safety is kind of nice.
The security was super tight on their end, on the club's end, but, I mean, it didn't have anything to do with anything in the sense of everybody felt secure, but, I mean, that security made it even better, and it was very structured. It was very well organized. And things went on, and there wasn't a hitch in the entire day of anything, whether it was the public or clubs. I mean, many support clubs rode in, people I haven't heard of off the East Coast, and many clubs rode in and gave their respect and everything. And there was, like I say, it was very well structured, very well set up, as far as handled. And I've been I've been involved in a lot of big concerts, and I mean major concerts where there's 10,000-20,000 people just for a concert event, and it was structured better than any of that stuff that I'd ever seen.
We have never had a problem with that. Of course, those guys, they've been to many rodeos, so they know what they're doing. They try to make so the public is safe, and they try to make it so the police don't feel threatened. That makes it kind of nice, too.
Last time we were down in San Diego at an event. So it's not like it's, there's all that extra element of that, too.
Anytime something could happen, but they do their best to try to maintain everything.
Anything unusual happen? Any threats? Anything like that?
Well, they had a bomb threat because at the end of the day, I got invited to go to the Virginia signing, which is Sunday, the very next day, which is only 2.5 to 3 hour drive. And I was like, yeah, man, I'd love to do that. But we got word in like right there at the end of the day that there was a bomb threat up in Virginia where the next signing was. And the ATF had been up there and swept the whole area and went through the whole other venue and did all this crap, to clean it out. And, most of us that those that knew about it, all of us agreed that it was probably, just the ATF themselves wanting to come in there and show their face and, rummage the place,
That's my first thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Charlie, your responsibility is to your wife first and foremost. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, Sonny didn't turn it down. He said, no, we're going anyway, and they went. And we didn't end up going because they were playing music. Oh, no, we were covered. I mean, I wasn't worried about any of that stuff, and nobody else was either. We all felt the same way. We all felt that it was just a ploy by, ATF and FBI stuff to just, throw it out there and get their nose in it. How else are you going to get inside and rummage through everything and look at everybody and get extra pictures and whatever you want if you don't claim there's an issue?
Charlie, I think the important thing for you to understand is if something happens to you, Screwdriver and I will be here to take care of your wife. That's the type of friends we are, buddy.
Well, I appreciate that to the most ultimate 100%.
You ready to take a little break, get some of that child music?
Yeah, we're going to play...
let me get some of that child music.
We're going to play we're gonna play a song, and then we'll be right back.
Maybe I'll sing along with the song.
But I want you guys, Merlin and Charlie, if you could hang on the line, that would be great.
I'd like to. Photos and the music and my own writings and everything else. And
yeah,
I'll
put it up in the chat for you, Merlin. It's or if you send me, do you have the site since your significant other friended me as a favorite?
You
go on there and you can get my email address, my phone number, everything. But I'll put it up in the chat if you're sitting in front of your computer right now.
Actually, I'm not in front of the computer. I'm sitting here with my feet up on Duke with the cell phone plugged into the battery.
Charlie and Merlin, I'd like to make a little announcement out here tonight.
All right.
In this building, it's his birthday, and it's not my birthday. So, therefore, it's Philip's birthday today, boys and girls.
Happy birthday.
If you like.
No,
happy birthday. No?
No.
Charlie wants to get on the bandwagon.
No. Sonia just sent me a big wet smoochie.
Oh. Hey, what do we get from...
I got a friend that will do that for you.
Merlin, we got a request here.
Hey, he wanted to know if you ever had... Merlin, did you have the New Mexico green chili?
Yes. I had fixed by an artist named Nick Gadaboy at his house in San Jose, New Mexico, Tuesday night.
Well, it can't be New Mexico chili then.
Yeah.
Right,
and this was right before we drank all his liquor. It was absolutely marvelous.
Somebody typed in, wanted to know what you thought about that.
Yeah, and then the other thing I was going to say is, when Bill got here, Charlie, we started talking a little bit, and I said, hey, check this out. And while I was sitting here getting everything ready for the show, he started thumbing through the book, and... I told him, you forgot to look the inside cover. He was really jealous for about, I think he's still jealous.
Hey, I could pick the phone up and call direct, but that's another story. All right with that.
Charlie, you were talking about Sonny. Now, my assumption is we're talking about Sonny Barger.
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Yep.
I have dealt with Mr. Barger one time. And it was an absolute pure class act. In fact, he called to apologize to me, which was the least likely thing I could imagine happened, because what had happened was some stuff that he had no control over, and he was apologizing that he didn't have control over it. And I found that to be an absolute class act, and you'd be hard-pressed to, say something bad about Sonny Barger. So I'm pleased to hear that... you have enjoyed your time with him, and that he's maintained that who he is, even if he is on the other end of the country.
The funny thing is, when the kids come up and they're there, and he's talking to the kids, the first thing he says to the kids, he said, do you know why I talk like this? Because I smoked, and you're not going to smoke, are you? And the kids are are awestruck.
Scared straight.
I've spoken like this for a long time. That's why I talk like this.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this was after one of the helmet lush sticks, very, very early in the Bolt lifespan in 92, 93, and some stuff had gone down that was particularly stupid, and he had nothing to do with it. But he was apologizing, and when he called, I didn't know he was calling or anything, but that voice was absolutely unmistakable as who was on the phone. There was no question about, oh, yeah, which one of my friends is playing a joke on me. But class act, very, very class man, it's nice to hear other firsthand about him. It's like hearing about a good friend. It's like when people
realize. Well, you gotta find out where Charlie lives out there. So when you travels across country, you're in that state someday. You gotta stop by and say hello.
He's in White House, Tennessee. Is that correct, Charlie?
Yeah, Tennessee. Yeah. How far is that from Bucksnort? Now Bucksnort, Tennessee, is a little postage stamp I want to go find.
It's probably 75 miles. Bucksnort is a pinch west of Nashville, and Whitehouse is a pinch north of Nashville.
Okay.
So when you put that all together and you got to ride from one point to the other, from where I am to Bucksnort, it's probably a good 75 miles.
And then there's a Highway 12 goes from Nashville east, I think, isn't there?
Goes through a great little town. Yep.
Yeah, and I've discovered what I think is a secret code on the highway numbering. 12 is good. Even starting with an I is bad. But Highway 12 from the Washington coast, Pacific coast, all through the Lolo Pass, everything. Man, you drop down and pick up Highway 12, even the other one that runs through Utah. Highway 12 seems to be the secret code for great motorcycle roads.
Well, I've got time for a second, and also, Charlie, I have a friend of mine called named Susan Digon. She is a human dynamo for getting prizes for nonprofit organizations, and I want to give this a little bit because I can get on stage, I can speak all day. We all know that, but I'm not comfortable walking in and getting prizes. She's going to help us a lot of events, including the Bikers Against Diabetes. We'll be doing stuff for the Blue, the Drive, all kind of stuff going on. Can I put you guys on hold? Listen to what she's saying. Jump if you want to ask her a question. Susan, tell me, are you live and well? Are you on? Susan, don't make me go through all that. You're not here. Susan. I was saying nice things about you a minute ago. We lost her?
Susan's losing the signal.
No, Susan's voice not that deep. I know that's not Susan. Susan, one more time. Susan?
Well, I'll leave her unmuted.
Okay. Charlie, jump back in. Take the lead. Where do you want to go from here? What's some of the concerts you got coming up?
How can we check on something? Some things were touched on yesterday that I talked about it, and I feel safe to say because it's been brought out into the public, and I just have to, I guess, pat my own self on the back. At the end of that event, I was told that they're putting some music of mine in Sonny's video that was filmed for the New York book signing, and that's extremely exciting to me. So that song Ride right now is being placed into Sonny's video that I guess he hasn't done a video in quite some time, and it's all about the book signing tour for this year, and that's what's going on, and hopefully it'll stick. Hopefully when they review the next edit, and they say, yeah, that's the music we want, because I was told that's the music they want. I'm real happy.
Oh, congratulations.
Absolutely. And, Charlie, I got a couple of requests in a private chat. We're probably going to have to send some CDs east and west.
Okay. But that's very doable.
Yeah, just let me know, and I'll shoot you some cash for the postage.
Susan, I'm going to drop a second. Susan, one more time. You out there, kiddo? Susan. No? Was that her?
No.
No.
I had a girlfriend named Susan years ago, but she disappeared too.
I'm against drugs and alcohol, but I don't mind taking women down to Mexico and selling them, making them for a buck or two.
There you go.
I think that's okay.
Yeah, it's an old time-honored tradition.
You know, I just thought of something. I'm about to throw it out there. Merlin and I were coming back from Mexico. We're in Tijuana, late one night, pitch black, of course, very little lights. Merlin had his bagger with him. He had Anna Williams on the back of his bike. Do you remember that?
I had Anna on the back, and I had
You didn't see that big bump in the road. You hit that speed bump, twice the size of America's speed bump. I was right next to Merlin next to him. He hit that speed bump so hard, Anna's ass went up, up, up in the air, and I watched from the bottom of the seat, the bottom of her butt. I had a clear view of the ocean. I thought for sure she was going over. Do you remember that night, Merlin?
Yeah, that's the night I had everybody's liquor.
Well, a long time ago, anyway.
It was about four or five bikes. I had everybody's liquor on the bagger, and when I got to the Border Patrol, Anna stopped mounting.
Go ahead, finish this up. I want to jump in. Go ahead.
And the border says, "You got anything to declare?" And I said, "Yeah, I got about 8 or 10 quarts of Kahlua in the back."
No, stop right there, because you're lying like a big dog. You told that guy right there, "No, I don't have anything." And I was right next to you.
No. He said,
"But
no,
wait, except for the liquor in the back, because a couple of bottles had broken, and out of your pizza box, they were pouring on the ground." You turn around, "Oh, yeah, except for those bottles in the back," very nonchalant. But he said, "No, I don't got nothing." He was watching the liquor drain right out of your pizza box, right on the ground. God, your memory's going bad on you.
And he accepted the explanation that I belonged to that bike and that bike and that bike.
It's your story, and you were sticking to it.
We stuck to it again.
I think it gets better from there. We went to the San Diego Sports Arena for a motorcycle show, and I won best bagger, best tour bike, because the judge says, "Have you got a straw?" And he wanted to sip the Kahlua out of the back box, so I found a straw.
Is that the same show in Sports Arena?
Same show.
We took the bikes out on the ice. They put the red carpet down.
Everybody else walked their bike on the red carpet on the ice. I rode that Ruby. That bike was Ruby. In fact, I put 200,000 miles on that scoot, including 28 yards on the ice of the San Diego Sports Arena.
The halftime, we'd bring the bikes down to the Sports Arena, and we'd bring the cheerleaders out onto the ice and all that. Life was a lot of fun those days. We're getting too sophisticated for that.
Listen, guys, I hate to cast a small paw on that story, which is great because it's a great story, but if you bring that fast forward to right now, think about what we can't do anymore.
Yeah, we can't.
You couldn't cross that border. You can't get on an airplane right now without them grabbing your nads.
Yeah.
You can't do anything right now. And I mean,
we got my blog story put
it
up there.
It's a great story.
A couple of months ago in New Mexico, I'm on a freeway, and I see a inspection point up ahead, and I stop. And it's a funny thing about most of the border patrolmen, they're Hispanic, and I'm going, this is curious because it sounds like profiling to me. But this young man with his all-black gear and his black glasses and everything else, and he's looking very entirely too martial. I was in the Army. You don't need to look that sinister. And he started asking me questions about where have you been, where are you going, and I looked at him and I said, "I think you're only allowed to ask me if I'm in this country legally, in which case, yes. What else you want to talk about?" And he didn't know how to handle that. And he was out there. He was all by himself. I was all by himself. He had a gun. I didn't. So we weren't equal. But that crap is more and more, and it is everywhere. And the black vans you were talking about, the guys in the black, with the earpieces or just the black flak jackets, this stuff's getting really deep and scary. And people around the country, they don't like it. They don't like
it. Goes back to you have to know the laws. You have to know your rights.
Okay, Merlin, who's taking those jobs then? If people around the country don't like it, I'm sitting here in Nashville, and I could use some work for the winter because the music stuff always slows down. It always slows down, I mean, I won't pick up work again musically till February. So do you think I want to go out and wear a black jacket and dark glasses? I mean, who the hell are these people, and who the hell is allowing themselves to be trained and treat other human beings in this fashion? That's what I want to know. Where are they coming from? Because they certainly ain't the people we know.
Yeah, and apparently it's socially acceptable to tattle on your neighbor now. And so I'm finding things, and the people that I mostly bump into very often they are campers of themselves. Very often they are retired. They are, you know, we are a generation of Vietnam era vets, and so I'll bump into these guys who are older and occasionally younger, and their families, and their small business owners, and there are children, and then I'll find out that, yeah, they don't have a problem with the searches or the stops that you and I find intrusive and, you know, at the very minimum, annoying. So you get the younger kids, they've been taught that it's okay, just put up with it. And
nope.
You and I were taught, no, that it's not okay. Nobody touches you or touches your children. And the cop was a friendly-looking guy. He wasn't a Hollywood, you know, black 21st century Western ninja. And by black, I mean black uniforms. but, it is out there. But most people are just trying to figure out how to get through the next season, like right now. Trying to figure out how to get to the next show season. And I used to go from contract and then figure out how to survive to the next contract and go to work for Sikorsky in Connecticut or you know, Solar here in San Diego. And that's what a lot of people are doing. It's almost like I don't have time to get angry about this. I got to feed myself through December somehow.
Okay, so there we go. And that's what's going on. So what's happening is the cycle is created, and that's the cycle that is wanted to be created. I hate to bring up names, but that's the George Soros of the world. That's the whole cycle of life that they want to create. They want to take away your freedom of travel. They want to put you in such a bind that you're talking exactly like you are. I just need to make it to the next month, to the next day. Okay, I don't have time to fight what's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that this whole system is set up as a major, major system, the new world order.
And I agree. It's a setup. If 9/11 hadn't have happened, something else would have been either picked and used or made to happen, because those who would give up their liberty for safety deserve and will have neither. Now, I believe that's Benjamin Franklin, but I could be wrong. It might be Jefferson. They understood that if you're willing to stand there and say, it's okay, at least I'm safe, even if I can't move out of this room, you've got nothing now, because whoever has your safety in their hand also has the rest of you in their hand, and you've just lost everything, your liberty and your safety. And there's some people that, you know, I've bumped into people that get it, and I've bumped into people that don't get it. And that's
Screwdriver and I have a unique situation and relationship with people in Mexico City. And they tell us that the high, high politicians and multimillionaires, they already have computer chips
inside
the body.
Planted, so if they get kidnapped, they can find them.
That's a normal way of living now in Mexico City. You have money, you're a high politician, they got the chip planted inside you already. If they kidnap, they got to rescue you right away. They think that's normal. The world is changing.
Yeah.
We don't like it, but too many people are putting up with it.
Well, I told you years ago, man, they desensitize us all. And I'm telling you, years ago, it started with dogs. And what I mean is people started putting GPS things, clipping it into a dog's ear. So if your dog got lost, you could track your dog.
They started doing it in 2000.
Many years ago.
Yeah,
and so now today, it's evolved into this. Yep. It's evolved all the way across the board. It's been something that's been going on, desensitization. You know, I know a young person when the issue happened last year in California where the school kids wore the American flag on their T-shirt on Cinco de Mayo, they got told to take that off, and it was offending people. And I know some young people that said, well, I can see why that happened. And I said,
You can? How? What? The whole point.
But they were very young people, and they're going, I know, but it's Cinco de Mayo Day. Come on, let them have their day. No.
You know, Cinco de Mayo is not a true Mexican holiday. It's a Tex-Mex or an American-Mexican holiday. And
it means
over the French.
The 5th of May. So what?
Yeah,
victory over the French.
The Mexican,
that's it.
Because that's
not
the Mexican Independence
Day. It's like all
day.
The bikers that showed up to take that kid to school.
And
exactly.
So, you know, I always thought that it's majority rule, but I've since come to the understanding that, no, the reality is if you're a vocal minority, you can control it. And majority rule means that, yeah, you may be offended, but most of us think it's okay, so figure out how you're going to deal with it. I'm not a fan of lawyers. Bill already understands that. I figure, like Mark Twain, one is a crook and two is a conspiracy. But we've gone litigation nuts years ago, decades ago. And Justice Brandeis once said that justice needs a lawyer like true love needs a pimp. Sorry if I've offended somebody with the use of the word pimp. But
Merlin, this is internet radio. You can use any language you want. Whatever your disciplines are, there is no restriction on this radio at all.
Yeah, I believe you said the last bastion of freedom when we talked about this the other day.
I believe when Congress takes this away from us, I'll have no chance to communicate people from England and Ireland. And,
we've got
people all over. People listen to us in 15 countries right now. We're just individual people talking. We're no big business. But when they take this away from us, the people, it's one more way they'll control us. I believe this. I'm not being paranoid.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you, because
I truly believe
somebody is.
Give me a second. Let me pull this up, and I'm gonna blow your guys' mind right now. Okay.
Careful. I lived through the 60s, and I remember a good portion of it.
And you didn't. You weren't in the 60s then.
Yes, I was. Oh, I used to
remember
Berkeley for the.
Philip, it's your birthday. You should be looking for somebody to blow out your candle and not blow our mind.
I went to Berkeley for the tear gas seminars of 1967.
That comes later.
What are you looking at, buddy? I'm lost to you.
Okay, I got it right here.
All right.
Escalation of violence is a concern to bikers. Okay?
All right. Causing it or putting up with it?
No, okay. Here. I put the links in the chat. I sent you the email, Charlie.
All right.
Please be forewarned that both of the video links below are disturbing and display violent acts. One shows violence by cops against the public, and the first one shows a rare episode of people on a radical militant fringe striking back. Both videos represent an escalation of violence that is destined to get worse.
Snowball going down the hill. It's going to continue.
Yeah. What was that, Charlie?
It's coming, man. It's all coming. It's gonna come into fruition. I think we're not learning from history. We're not learning from the past at all.
Yeah.
It looks like we're setting ourselves up for another. I don't know if I want to use the word Hitler-esque type of scenario. I don't know if that's the right word. I think it's going to be twice as bad as that.
I think if in certain aspects, yeah, you may be right. Twice as bad. Because, well, it's the TSA is having a number of publicity problems right now, but it gets down to something that we used to use in court against the highway patrol, which is, okay, now that I know you lie to me, what else would you like me to believe? Give me the list of what you're lying about and what you're not lying about, and we'll sort that out. And so the police agency...
I just put up in the chat, it says, if you disagree with the way TSA is handling security at airports, sign the below petition and forward it to all your friends, and it's in there. It's flywithdignity.org.
All right, now wait. I got to take the flip side of the coin. I'm going to flip the script here. If you enter the security procedure and you want to leave in the middle of it, I want your ass arrested. If you say, I'm not going to go through that security procedure as an American, that's your right. If you go in that procedure... How do I know you're not testing to see how far you can get?
Wait.
It's simple.
Bill,
you go halfway into that, you change your mind, too late, too bad. You're in it.
You cannot,
this is a test for my security.
You cannot do
into it if you don't want to go into it. I'm a firm believer in don't do it. But if you go in there,
arrest,
testing it.
Until you do something illegal, a preemptive arrest, in fact, by definition, is out of the question. So,
Bill,
if we're a nation of laws,
that's part of the New World Order. That's part of George Soros. Restricted travel. That's the best thing to do. The man's holding me down. Well, the man is holding us all down, and they're going to continue to restrict travel. When they do that, then they just keep on taking over and taking over and taking over. Pretty soon, we don't want to go anywhere.
let's go back up to a little bit when they passed the helmet law in California. I had friends that left the state. Oh, I won't ride in the state ever again. Hey, if they pass a law tomorrow that says wear one red tennis shoe and one blue tennis shoe, that's what I'll still be doing to ride the bike. Friends of mine, I'm not going to ride the bike anymore. Who are you hurting, you idiots? You're only hurting yourself.
You're giving them what they want.
We fought very, very hard, and I spent in one couple of year period, I dropped about $40,000. I was all over all 58 counties of the state of California teaching helmet ticket fighters and helmet law classes and explaining the fact that DOT approved is a non, you know, it can't be, much less a lie. And I went through all of this, and somebody asked me several times over the last 2 decades, well, what did you gain? And I said, well, at the very least, you're not wearing a vest, you're not wearing somebody else's choice of helmet, and you don't have to wear full goggles, full gloves, full boots, because if you recall, we saw the text of the proposed laws for the vest and the goggles and boots and stuff. They couldn't define helmet. Now, how are you going to define the rest of the stuff that somebody wanted to throw in? So the fight worked in that we stopped the next level. The court and the powers that be in the state of California, there's some personal I hate them names, but the hell with that, it's stuck in the ninth appellate. If they don't read the thing, they don't have to answer it. If they don't have to answer it, they don't have to take the law out, basically, the way it's written, or the way the case is written now. And this is Quigg and my brother Steve and a couple other people. Remarkably brilliant minds. Quigg was amazing, and my brother Steve, huge, huge ton of respect for this man's intellect.
For a second here. Yeah, Merlin, hang on a second, please. I'm going to go through with this here. We had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, Steve Red Baron. How about that voice from the past? He was talking about a lot of the issues here, and I know you're very familiar with Red Baron. There was a group of you guys years ago. Never mind the monetary loss. How about the stress? How about the exhaustion, the mental stress you guys put on yourself? Because I know Red got hurt, not hurt, but Red got tired. You got tired. Quigg got tired. Your brother got tired. It was only a small core of you, but do you feel that, I know you spent a lot of money, but what about the stress upon you? How'd you deal with that?
I dealt with it by enjoying the fight. You get to the point where you unstress by unloading on hopefully a commissioner or an appellate court or a writ or something. I dealt with it by riding, and which is contraindicated because every time I rode, I had to put a hat on that pissed me off. I dealt with it by pulling over a San Diego police officer in a three-wheeled go-for cart and trying to get him to understand he's riding a motorcycle and wears a stupid helmet. I did that 2 weeks ago just because it seemed like a really good idea at the moment, and I did it 15 years ago, and I get the same stupid answers. But they're taught to follow instructions, not question whether it's good, bad, or ugly. It was expensive. It was expensive in all number of ways. Let's put it this way. I apologized to my children about it. Fortunately, my daughter said, Dad, you were always there when I needed you, which, boy, there's words you can live with. But, it was big time. But I got to do some stuff like, well, the Market Dimes things we did for 4 years. That was amazing. That was amazing. I'd sit in a room with 25 people from every different motorcycle club you could have walk in that room. And people that wouldn't sit down in the same corner of the city would sit down in that room, and everything, remember, Bill, it was para las niñas, for the kids, period.
Yes.
These were amazing times, and I would not have been there had I not been in the fight and gotten the
That wasn't just
knowledge.
A room, Merlin. That was the executive director's conference center that they gave us. That was nice of them.
Yes, yes. Oh, they turned that whole thing over. And we still sat there after 4 years and went, my God, we finally got it right. Why are you shutting it off? I never did truly, and that's okay, but I never truly understood. But I know it was one of the high points of my life, and it was in the middle of that times. So I did a lot of stuff like that to offset the fact that I was sitting there in court watching some guy make it up, and he happened to be the one on the bench.
One of the sad things about you and I and many other bikers at that time period, we would go to Mexico, Tijuana, take our helmets off, have a great weekend, and coming back to America, bam, put the helmet on.
Yeah.
Where have you
come
been?
Back
how
into
long
the
have
land.
You been gone? Jesus, I go in a foreign country and they say hello. I come back into America and I got to go through this litany of questions. It's just always, first of all, America is the greatest country in the world. I swear to God, I love this country.
We used to wonder about
another
which side
country,
of the...
And I don't understand this.
Because we used to wonder, remember, which side of the border was the land of the free. You know, you and I, great relationship with Solo Angels. And the solos, God, there were some guys down there that were absolutely amazing. And but these were the things that kept me going, because I could go down there and you would ride on the toy runs. We would ride across the border and be escorted by the police. And I watched a guy pulled up alongside of me one time riding in Tijuana, and I looked over and here's this, you know, really nice chopper. And hanging off the ape hangers, without his helmet, is a Tijuana City police motor officer. And I looked at him, and then I looked behind him, and the guy who probably owned the chopper was sitting without his helmet and riding the Tijuana police motorcycle. These guys had traded bikes. Now, Hop was on duty. He was part of our escort. And I thought, oh, you know, I'm on the right side of the border at this point. You know, this was...
Berlin, we can say this. You know that I have 10 years invested in that Mexican motorcycle organization you mentioned. I felt once I crossed the border, I had a blanket of security around me. But I want you to hear this.
Too.
3 weeks ago, my partner and I went down. We went to Otay Mesa, and I went down to south of Rosarito and caught a road back to the south of Rosarito. Came back in, and on the way back, I want you to understand... In the back of my light, there, in the back of my mirror, a cop was coming. Now, Tijuana cops got a blue light, big stick up there. It looks like a Kmart special. This guy is coming. Speed limit's 55. I'm doing 65. What the hell did this guy stop me for? He pulled up. He said, KKK. And then Rosarito. He says, Andale, Andale. We were rolling between 85 and 90, the two of us, my partner and I, and this Tijuana cop with his blue light on, he escorted us all the way to Rosarito, doing 85 miles an hour to 90 on a 55 zone. Where in America could I do that? That's why I love this country, but there's still, I have a lot of fun in Mexico. I really do.
Well, you don't get the law involved until somebody actually gets hurt. And on this side of the border, you get the law involved when somebody gets someone else's nose out of joint. You know, it used to be that the vehicle code was there to help define and decide what happened with an accident or somebody got hurt. It was Class B revenue wasn't part of the package. You get into Wyoming and up in the High Sierras, places where people have to, you know, deal with a tough winter. They have to deal with some reality. It's a different approach to law enforcement. Wyoming, it's real interesting. Mufflers are optional in that state. And so you'll see a 14-year-old kid driving a 17,000-pound farm implement down the road at 70 miles an hour with no mufflers and no lights and no, because it's farm implement. And he may be making a beer run for his uncle, because you can go get beer at the drive-thrus and buy jugs at liquor stores and stuff. And up until a year ago, you could drink and drive, not have a drink and then drive, but, gee, I've got a steering wheel in one hand and a drink mixed or beer from, you know, in the other. But it wasn't until people got hurt and they went, well, wait a minute, we really got to do this. And then you would find out that, well, more and more of the NHTSA and DOT got involved, and finally Wyoming kind of rolled over and said, all right, fine, we'll put in some no drinking and driving rules. But the way it was handled was, if nobody gets hurt, we don't have a problem here.
Well, taxation. It's taxation. They found ways to come up with revenue.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about revenue.
And, you know, and but I used to laugh. I'd be sitting there at that little campground, and, God, it was fun for an engineer to run them little John Deere tractor around, mow 7 acres of grass. But this kid was driving
by. Hold on for a second. I want to say something, Jim, right back in here. We got somebody typing us, and I don't want to interrupt you, but Mexico City, thank you for calling in and giving us your little comment. We appreciate that. We miss you. Maybe someday we can get back down there again. You can come on up here. So, hello, Mexico City. Merlin, go back on, buddy. Merlin,
okay.
Go ahead.
All right. And but this
go
this
ahead,
kid drive. You got, are you waiting for Mexico?
No, go ahead. I just want to say hello to them. They don't want to get
okay.
in there message into us.
So
I want to say hello to
Mexico. But the kid would drive by a couple of times a day, and it used to just crack me up because that truck hadn't had a muffler on it since 1984, and it he was doing his thing, and nobody was getting hurt, and he's hauling the hay or whatever it was on that truck. And it just used to crack me up because I would almost always go, boy, not in California, you don't. It didn't matter whether it bothered somebody or not. You're just not allowed to do that. And here it was, the kids work in the family business. And nobody...
Let me start for a second. I want to ask Screwdriver a question. These people that type in us messages and send in pictures, only you and I can get this, right? Nobody else can... They can't see this anywhere else?
No.
Okay. We're trying to keep a straight conversation. You have no idea the amount of people, the amount of countries that are sending pictures and lewd remarks. And we try to keep a straight face and all that. But Mexico says a very nice picture. I'm sorry.
Damn it, I want some lewd remarks. Hey, guys, I got to yeah. intercede for a minute. I got to cut out. It's nice meeting you, Merlin, and happy birthday to
my
you.
My pleasure, Chuck.
I look forward to your music.
Charlie, thank you, buddy. Always good to hear you, buddy. Say goodbye to
your
wife. Miss her.
Hey, y'all have a great night, man, and I'll catch you on the next time. Catch you on the road.
Take care, buddy.
Take care, Charlie.
Yeah, good night.
Good night, Charlie.
Nice, Steve. Merlin, you still with us?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we got a couple minutes left here like that.
Yeah, I need to get some of his music. That's all there is to it.
You know, it's really...
We'll hook that up for you. I already told him, and I'll give him a buzz tomorrow.
Oh.
Like right now, we've got... just tonight, we've got shit all over. Let me see. They're accessing us from all over the world.
Ain't technology marvelous?
Yeah.
What are we looking at here? Look at those countries.
Yeah.
Wow. Really, how about being a regular on our show? Do you feel okay on that? Whenever you your situation allows, you jump in. We won't send a precedent on you. Whenever you're close, nearby, or whatever, you want to jump in the conversation?
I'd like that, yeah.
You're an irregular regular. How's that?
I'd like that. I'd like to be an irregular regular.
Based upon what part of the country you're in and all that, you know, we'd love that.
Yeah.
Because I know if there's something on your mind, you're going to tell me what it is.
Well, I need to tell someone, you know, and that's the one thing wrong about being alone in a campground. Although when the buffalo walk through, you can talk to them. They'll ignore you just like anybody that's your friend.
But I know you got a few good books with you.
Actually, I did take some books with me, and I also found out that to buy and sell books, you go find the local Friends of the Library store. Roswell, New Mexico, a great one. I read a bunch of Dashiell Hammett novels at one point during the trip. Can't carry many books, but I would go get one I liked, and then when I got done with it, I'd go find some place to trade it off or sell it, and you know, or give it to somebody else and find another one. And I'll read anything. God, my mother said, just read something, and I took that to heart. I'll read anything.
I was with Rick Dibbin today, by the way. He's doing fine. His knees are still acting kind of bad, but he's still running around on his Dynaglide.
Yeah, that was too bad. I missed him the other day. It's kind of tough to miss your brother just because you didn't recognize him going down the road the other direction. But
confusing us all.
Well, I'm fortunate. I've got family all over the West Coast, and more I'm finding it on the East Coast, too. I'm finding family back there. And I have a new granddaughter, so everybody needs
some people may have tuned in late. Tell us a little bit about If people want to talk to you.
Here's the deal, Bill.
What's the deal?
We're in the United States, Canada, Denmark, Australia, South Korea, the United Kingdom, Germany, Russia, Nigeria. France.
Must be some of Merlin's family.
No, they were my
we're,
France, and don't
yeah,
forget Mexico
we're,
City
we're,
just
we're
called.
All, yeah, and we're Mexico City, New Zealand, the Netherlands,
Brazil,
Denmark, Germany.
I got friends
in
Wales now that I didn't have. Well, you were asking, you know, what am I doing? Like I say, 6 months ago.
So tell us about how people can reach you. Go over that again. I know you said that, but maybe not everybody tuned in on that.
Well,
yeah.
You know, hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second, brother. I just want to say hello to Mexico City, and I will see you soon.
No, I said hello to Mexico City first.
That's fine.
I get to say hello to Mexico City, too.
Hey, it's birthday. I get to do what I want.
All right. Yeah. Say hello anyway, Merlin. This is a nice
birthday,
part of
Phil.
Mexico City. Tell us again, how can people reach you on the road? How can they touch base with you in your wanderings?
I'm on Facebook, Merlin Bianco, and there's a picture of me and Duke on the Bonneville Salt Flats, which was a high point of my life. Take a bike out on the salt and play with it a little bit. And I'm also at Merlin, MerlinBianco1, at Juno.com. And I love hearing from people. I have hundreds and hundreds of photographs I've taken of roads and animals and people and neat scenery. God, America's an amazing place for an adventure. And fortunately, I am out doing that adventure. What little I had left, I sold or gave away. Sold the panel truck and the trailer, and if it doesn't fit on the motorcycle, basically I don't own it. And I'm wandering all over the country. I did 20.
Merlin,
days
I got to stop you. We're almost going off the air, but I want to ask you to. I said be an intermittent part of our show. How about you being
irregular.
A regular part of the show? So instead of being off and on, how about every damn week opportunity? Now, we are going to be closed Thanksgiving, everybody. We will not be. We'll both be out of town. But, Merlin, think about that. Every single Thursday you can, we want you on our show.
Well, I could call for a little bit.
You can.
I'm working off the cell phone, sooner or later it's going to cost money. But that's my problem, I guess, isn't it? And,
we just be on the show the whole time,
you
know, just when you talk about something, hey, I'm wherever.
But,
think about that. And we got to start to shut you down, Merlin. We're losing all space and time.
Fair enough.
Screwdriver, are you going to take us out
thank
with something?
You.
Yeah, we're going to take out with Bill's favorite song.
Yeah, favorite song.
Check this out. This
Screwdriver,
is by,
thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Of course.
This is by
and
Rusty.
Bill,
Rusty,
as always.
Rusty Coons and Attica 7.
Attica 7.
Ah.
Bill's favorite song, too.
God, I love Huey's.
What?
I'm going to extend an invitation to Sunday. Rusty's having an open house. And if you get a hold of Bill, we'll give you all the info. You may want to come
okay.
up there with us.
Are you in California, Sunday?
I didn't hear you.
Are you in California Sunday?
Yeah.
Call me at the shop.
I'll call you at the shop.
Okay,
good night,
we'll give you
been a thrill and a pleasure. I want to do this again.
Oh, it's always interesting talking to you, my friend. You're never shy about your opinions.
And you're usually amused. Screwdriver, it's a pleasure. Bill, always love you, man. You can't
have
my beer.
All right, man, we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.